Views and opinions expressed on this program are those solely of its speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WMUA, its management board, or the Board of Trustees of the University of Massachusetts.
The interview you will listen to today was originally recorded in Spanish on December 19, 2014. The Spanish version was first aired on January 8, 2015. Today you will listen to the English version. The script of the interview was written by Associate Professor Luis Marentes, by Laura Lezama García, and by Atenea Castillo. La entrevista que usted escuchará el día de hoy fue originalmente grabada en español el día 19 de diciembre del año 2014. El 8 de enero del 2015 transmitimos la entrevista en español. El día de hoy usted podrá escuchar la versión en inglés. El guión de la entrevista fue escrito por el profesor asociado Luis Marentes, por Laura Lezama García y por Atenea Castillo.
Did you know greedy corporations want to ram a new frack gas pipeline all across northern Massachusetts? Did you know ratepayers will end up paying for it? Did you know these pipelines leak methane into the atmosphere, gas that is 20 times worse than CO2 for our threatened climate? Go to nofrackedgasinmass.org to learn more. Remember, don't pass gas in mass.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global and embedded independent international investigative news hour. This is programming unavailable in the mainstream media, but it's available to you every weekday here on WMUA. WMUA brings you Democracy Now! From 8 to 9, Monday through Friday, every morning, all year long.
So remember, for grassroots national and international investigative news, it's Democracy Now! From 8 to 9 a.m. every Monday through Friday here on WMUA 91.1 FM.
Welcome to a new edition of Tan Cerca, Tan Lejos, a voice of Mexico in the United States of America. On December the 12th, 2005, 9 years and some days ago, Antonio Toño Zúñiga was wrongfully arrested in Mexico City. His case, like many others, could have been overlooked in the labyrinthine Mexican law impartition system. Nevertheless, it was not, because of the Emmy Award documentary Presumed Guilty. On June 2014, we interviewed Roberto Hernández, co-director of such documentary film. Today, we have the pleasure and honor of having to the same protagonist of this unreal but very likely very common Mexican history, Antonio Toño Zúñiga. Laura Lezama García, director of our show in Mexico, will lead the interview.
Va a coordinar la entrevista.
Hola Antonio, ¿qué tal? Muchas gracias por aceptar la entrevista con nosotros. De verdad es muy apreciado de nuestra parte.
Gracias a ustedes.
Bien, pues para comenzar la entrevista de lleno, comienzo con una pregunta muy obligatoria, sobre todo para nuestro público.
Hi Tonio, how are you doing? We appreciate a lot you accept this interview. Thank you.
Thanks to you.
Well, to begin the interview, I will first ask you a necessary question, necessary for our listenership. You became known in Mexico and in other parts of the world after the documentary Presumed Guilty, which goes over your legal case. For those listening to us who have not watched the film, could you elaborate on your case? What were you accused of? How was your process? How did you gain your freedom?
Okay, well, if I have to summarize it, it would be as follows. Almost at the end of the year 2005, on December 12th, I was arrested by some police officers. They arrested me without an arrest order. They didn't tell me what I was being accused of. I was not granted communication with the external world during some days. Well, these practices are relatively common in Mexico. It seems this is the way they work there. And well, after 2 days of being held captive without knowing of what I was being accused of, a statement said by one person was read to me. It said I had murdered someone. And in that moment, they decided to take me to the reclusorio, which is the in Mexico City, the equivalent of jail, in which accused people are held during their trial. Then I went over the trial, which was very bizarre. There was no neutrality. It was not well done, and the judge was not present during the hearings. When the trial finished, I was found guilty, and I appealed such sentence. But very quickly, I was declared guilty again. It seems they didn't even check out the case again. And then my family met Roberto Hernandez and Laida Negrete, two scholars who were working at the Center of Economics Teaching and Researching, Spanish acronym CIDE. They were carrying out surveys, and they already had a recording camera. With a camera in their hands for the first time, they got permission to record my new trial, because they also proved that my defense lawyer in the first trial had falsified his lawyer identification card, and because of that, I could get a new trial. Oddly, it was carried out with the same judge, in the very same law impartation court, everything the same as in the first one, which is not that correct. Anyways, after another long struggle, another long trial, which lasted 1 year, I ended up gaining my freedom. This was possible because of the recordings shown and because of the very good work of my defense team, whose head was my lawyer, Raúl Heredia. I don't know how long I was in prison, 2 years and 4 months. And well, it was a long time, and I ended up being freed. I don't even remember in what year. This is what you can watch in Presumed Guilty documentary.
Based on what you have seen after your case was shown to the people, would you consider the Mexican judicial system has somehow changed?
I think it has changed. I would say there are two things to speak in this respect. On the one hand, the written laws have changed. I think my case exerted pressure in favor of something that was being called before, which is the need of verbal trials. The pressure in favor of them was already there, and then my case helped to open the eyes of people. On the other hand, the way people looked at things also changed, in the sense that people saw that you can actually make a change if you get united. You can actually demand a change. However, the way the written laws are applied has not really changed. Because even though now people are presumed innocent, in practice, this is actually not the case. They still arrest you, take you to the preventive jail, and you still have to prove you are not guilty of what you are accused of. Therefore, we are still presumed guilty until we don't prove that's not the case.
The documentary focuses on the trial and, to some extent, in the living conditions inside the jail. Could you elaborate on this respect? How was the treatment from the part of the jail's authorities? What about the relationships with other inmates?
Related with the treatment inside jails, here in Mexico it is an open secret. Everybody knows that there is mistreatment. But I think what we don't have is citizenry supervision of how inmates are treated. And that's what makes possible that they work in the shadows and in the way that is best for them. Then there is mistreatment. Indeed, I have seen very important authorities saying so. However, at the end of the day, another problem is the overpopulation in jails and prisons. The jail in which I was designed to host 4,500 people, and it has 13,000. It is then obvious that if you have 13,000 inmates, the conditions will become subhuman. I don't know if I made a mistake with that word. I hope not. Therefore, there is not enough food. The officers are not enough to keep order. I just saw a survey which says that in Mexico, there is one officer for each 10 inmates or something like that. Thus, I think that having an overpopulated jail is the problem. It does not have to be like that, because 60 or 50% of inmates actually have not been received a sentence. You have inmates who are there for 10 pesos.
Some $75 as of January 2015.
And the government is spending money having them in jail. I think overpopulation is the source of mistreatment, and this is what makes that the jails are out of control. With respect to the other inmates I lived with, well, they are actually ordinary people. We have to remember that since you can be in prison even for 1 peso,
some $6 as of January 2015.
Jails are full of ordinary people. It is not like in the movies, in which it is sometimes said. You started hanging out with really vicious people and then you ended up in jail or prison. Of course, that is not the case. Jails or prisons are full of ordinary people, people that ended up there because of 10 pesos.
Some 70 dollar cents as of January 2015.
Because of a ham, because they crashed their car and put down some street retail cart. So, there are ordinary people, and the same as when people get united after an earthquake, when you are in jail and most of people should not be there, you also get united and you have very good relationships. And there are really good people who truly care about you. And well, you end up liking them a lot and they become really good fellows.
Well, I actually did the last question because what you are telling me sounds very familiar to me. In other words, one never imagines oneself in a context like the jail one, and when you actually end up there and you say, well, the life of these people, the inmates, is similar to mine, and we are equal, ordinary people. And well, at least what I can say based on my own personal history is that it is a wound that is there and that is never really completely heals. Because you remember your past there, at least that's what happened to me. When again you are in the street, and you enjoy other things, and you see cars. I remember the first time I was taken to a court hearing. After a while, and in the court, I could see cars passing. And then I remember there was a whole world outside, and it had been taken away from me out of nothing. I think this type of experience do leave a mark on you. And well, all these comments are related with what I would like to ask you next. Now you are out of jail, but there is no doubt that those years behind bars and the consequences of your case have changed your life. Could you elaborate on this, related if possible with what I commented?
What you commented seems to be absolutely right. As in any traumatic situation, I think wounds, as you call them, remain. I find that term very appropriate. I think that definitely all your body keeps wounds. Indeed, it is very difficult. I remember some TV series on the topic of prison, and in it, the same as you were saying, they take some female inmate somewhere and they are able to see a dog, and it is, of course, amazing. There are inmates who have been there 20 years, and there was a time a dog entered the prison, to give an example, and then their emotion was incredible. They were saying, there is a dog. I have not seen one in 10, 15 years. I can't believe it. And yes, I'm going to tell you this clearly. Wounds remain very deep inside you. It is quite hard to throw them away. I think that for all the innocent imprisoned people, and maybe the guilty as well, the only way and duty is to revert it, to make that the things that happen to them gain an added value, to learn something. I'm not saying get over it, because it is something you cannot and should not forget. I'm saying you do have to give them an added value and know that the things that happen have a reason. They have to have something good. You have to get something good out of them. So, yes, I do know a lot of former inmates who tell you things like, I couldn't sleep after I was freed. I was like a year without sleeping. I was waking up sweating. And of course, that's something which happened to me, which happened to a lot of people. It is a psychological mistreatment you suffer, and I believe that is not completely okay. Because, to begin with, you supposedly go to jail in order to gain the good skills to go back to society. But the psychological distress does not help. And then...
Tonio, let me recover the phrase you said. You cannot and you should not forget. I found it's very important, because one thing is to overcome this type of experience. Another thing is to just leave the sad in your personal life.
I'm sorry, I didn't listen to you. I think some aliens are kidnapping me.
I said, I wanted to recover your comments such that you cannot and you should not forget. At the end of the day, one thing is to overcome things, and a very different thing is just leaving them aside in your personal history. Because at the end of the day, they have been a great source of knowledge, and they have enriched you in many ways.
Exactly, I completely agree.
Toño, I will allow myself to interrupt a little here. I'm wondering, how has been your experience in the USA? We would like to know how your life experience has been modified in relationship with a new culture.
Look, I think it is very fresh to go to some other country. I really don't know because I have not gone to too many, but in reality, I think the USA has a peculiarity, which is very important for me. For some reason, most of people follow the rules. The government follows the rules. The people follows the rules. I actually ended up asking myself about it. For example, when I was in LA and someone told me, you can't step out of the sidewalk, I was saying to me, what? To cross the street, you have to push the button, and then you can't cross while the cars are passing. These type of things, I think, that lead to some rules, to some norms, and I think that to some extent, people end up respecting one each other much more. People respect much more the space of the others. Therefore, I think it has benefits that I find great. I would like people in Mexico had this culture, that people could respect themselves by respecting the others. My wife loves it there.
Before you arrest, you worked with computers and video games. You also were a singer and a dancer. Could you talk about your life before you were arrested? How did you arrive to computers and to singing and dancing?
I will tell you that people with few economic resources have another big resource. For example, you might not have enough resources to attend college, but you do have many books available to you. Anyone has a book and can read it. Therefore, I think that's the great resource people without resources have, so to speak. So, my philosophy or ideals when I was younger was like, yes, of course, you can hang out and party and do all the teenager things, but you also have to hang out with people with great capabilities, who know how to do something very well and who could teach you something. In other words, you don't have to waste your life all the time and thinking like that I started joining people that rather than partying and hanging out, were working. And with respect to computers, I really like all what is related with them, like repairing them. I think that's the way I ended up working on that. How did I ended up dancing? Well, with respect to singing, look, my mother sang in a group and I saw her and that's probably the reason. I have actually never really thought about this. And the dancing thing, simply and plainly, the thing is, my brother danced. He lived his youth in the most popular time of Michael Jackson, and then I saw him, and that was the reason. You know, you see the robot move, and it is super cool. And going back to what I mentioned, I believe it was a way to be entertained, but without just being on the streets wasting your time. I think singing and dancing is a whole art, and well, that's the way I ended up doing those three things.
What does attract you to rap and breakdancing?
What does it attract me to that? Well, look, no doubt, for me breakdancing is working out more than anything else. For me this is like a way to stay healthy and remain healthy all your life. And of course, it has some art. You're dancing and folks come to challenge and try to be better. And competition is always very cool. Much more when it is about dancing and your body has to make lots of figures and lots of things. I have always liked it. And the rap, well, I'm going to tell you, I think that without hesitation, that even though many people probably don't believe it, for many of us, doing hip-hop, rap and related stuff is a life philosophy. I'm saying that sometimes I listen to Natch, and he speaks about personal improvement. He speaks about reaching your goals and be whoever you want to be, and nobody can't tell you that you can't. You can study, you can work, you can do breakdancing, you can do everything at the same time, if you make the commitment. So, that's it. I think rap, hip-hop is a life philosophy, not like the Dalai Lama's. But no doubt, it is a very important life philosophy for me. Listening to musicians that give you advice without reprimanding you, because it is not forced, it is not something you have to do, because I'm ordering you so.
That's not the case. They are singing and they say, when I went over that, I did that, and that's what worked out well for me, and today I am the one I want to be. I also respect people. So I think that's it. I think it is that life philosophy.
Toño, here I will let myself to interrupt a little again, precisely because we need you, Toño, to choose three songs you would like we listen to. Please, if you like, choose three songs.
Well, I think a very good song now, Los Aldeanos, are on the spot a lot. I do like their song Loco, Crazy. I think it is an amazing song, and I think it goes very at the hawk with what is going on the whole world. The other one, it could be No Doubt, Estoy Perdiendo la Fe, I'm Losing the Faith, by Cancerbero. I think it is a very good song, and I think it is very good to think about. And the third one, I don't know, I think I like a lot the style of Natch. Therefore, it could be, what would it be good? I think Requiem would be very good.
Would you like that we also listen to one of your songs? I mean, one you composed?
Of course, I will send them to you later. I like several of them, like for example, Comienza a Escribirlo, Begin Writing It, which was the main song of the album.
Well, I want to clarify. I think the following question has already been quite answered with what Tonio just said. But nevertheless, I will throw it. Tonio, you were saying that rap, hip-hop become a left philosophy, and the following question is related with that. Your music and dancing are central themes in the documentary. In several parts of it, you dance and sing. You think about a specific song which you identify as a premonition of your imprisonment. In other parts, you speak about dancing in order to explain your attitude towards the trial. What do you find in this music which has given you a whole way of being in the world? In other words, probably a left philosophy?
Look, I think that in order to be more precise, I'm going to tell you I was a dancer. Almost professional. I can't say professional because I wasn't making thousands. I danced for a while. I started doing it at 14. By the time I was 16, I felt it was my life. It was what I was doing all day long. Then I joined a group, a very important group. We were going to have a very important job. And then the person who was, let's say, the owner of the project told me I was going to be the main guy. I was going to dance in front of the others, and they were going to be like my dancers. But then the other people didn't like the idea. They gathered and they decided that if I was performing, they were not, because they were not dancers of anyone else. And you know, that was something which hurted me a lot, and I left that place, and when I took the Mexico City subway, there was a young dude playing that one song which goes like, life is like a chess game. Everybody wants to put on check the king, and it is hard. And then I was almost going to cry, and I had to get off the subway because I couldn't stand it. At the end, it was the precise moment. Some energies gathered so that happened. And in that moment, I started thinking about music. And it's that, you know? Music is part of your life. There is no moment without music. When you felt in love, you were listening to some song. In other words, I think we maybe don't realize it, but unconsciously, there is music which makes you happy, and we reflect that happiness by being kind with people, by giving something to someone without asking for something in return. And I think that's the thing. I think I like music because I know what it has made me feel, and I know it has made me know what I want to be in this life. I want that someone listens to me and says, that's awesome. I want to be someone in life. I want this, and I will achieve it. It's that, in the context of giving back what music has given to me.
You composed music before your legal case. You kept composing while in jail, and you continue composing after you obtain your freedom. How did your jail term affect your relationship with music?
I think that shocking experiences force your mind to open itself. I don't know how to say it. I don't know if it will be understood. I think that, yes, I did music before, but I was very shy. It was very hard for me to go on to the stage to sing. I had a lot of songs. Indeed, some people told me, "Did you already hear this song? It's very cool." And they sang my songs. And then I said, "That's one of my songs." And they told me, "No, that's not true, because I have not seen you singing it anywhere." So I was very introverted. I didn't like. If I composed a song, it was for others to perform it. And then, when you're in jail, you realize you could have done millions of things, and you didn't do them. And now your life is in a hole. And then you start appreciating all those things you could have done. And suddenly, when I went out, I wrote songs, but I then wrote songs with a very strange magical tone. When I entered jail, and I started talking with Roberto Hernandez, he told me, "Would you ever think that music you did before had a premonition of what was going to happen?" And I told him that yes, I had a method to do that music. I put the basic rhythm and I sat to wait until something came to me. And after 2 or 3 hours, something started telling me this song is about this. Therefore, it was not a planned song in the sense that I said, "I'm going to sit and write down about jail, about the streets, about how better I am." It was something that just happened. And then, while in prison, Roberto told me something that, I don't know, it changed my way to see music. He told me, "If you believe some force made you compose those songs and you ended up in prison, why don't you compose songs in which you go home? Everything changes and it is as it was before." Therefore, thinking about it, I remember it was very strange. There were songs in which I told my mother she knew I was not guilty, and I asked her to have my bedroom ready. I was going to go back with her. And well, that happened, and now I'm outside. I think now I make music based on what I see and what I live. And of course, I have to recognize that when we start composing music, everything is just bluff. I will say it openly. One rambles about, you know, the hood. I go home at 9 p.m., but I don't know. I make it up, or I sit, or some talks to me about it. I think now my music has become a bit more mature. I think it is more mature. I think now it speaks about things that can be helpful for someone. I think that's it.
You have recorded several songs and videos, and you have appeared in the Vive Latino concert. Where is your music career nowadays?
Where am I in my musical career? Well, guess what? I think there is a big problem, because since I was freed, the obligatory question in that moment was, what do you want to do with your life? And then there were a lot of offers from musical companies. That is, there was a lot related with music, but there were also those scars, those things which hurt, that impotence of not being able to go out to the street because you are scared of a police patrol or whatever. Do you understand me? For having all that, suddenly it was, yes, I want to record and I want to sign a contract, but I also want to be with my family, which is what I have missed the most. Yes, I want to record and I want to sign a contract, but I also want to sit down and gain serenity and think about things in a more careful way. Then, I think, on the one hand, happened, you know, that I forgo some opportunities, but I certainly don't regret it. I think I have what I wanted, my family, my kids, my wife, place to live. I think I'm happy. I make music, not with a musical company. I don't sell millions of albums, but the people who have listened to it have told me, it is good, I love it. When are you releasing more? And well, I think my musical career, I'm making the last album. I mean, that I'm going to make a new album at the beginning of January, and I will try to sell it as independent producer. So, I'm there, and we expect surprises.
Okay, I think we're done. Dear Antonio Zúñiga, dear Laura, is there anything else you would like to add?
Just a greeting to all the people who is over there, wherever they listen to us. And Laura, thanks a lot.
It has been a big experience to know you. Thanks a lot. It has been very nice listening to you, very enriching. And indeed, you brought me a lot of memories and many feelings that actually have always been there. So I really thank you for your time and for giving us the chance to share you with our listenership. It will be a formidable interview.
Well, thanks a lot.
Bueno, esa fue la entrevista con Antonio Zúñiga, protagonista del documental Presunto Culpable, ganador del Emmy, conducida por Laura Lezama García.
Well, that was the interview with Toño Zúñiga, protagonist of Emmy Award documentary Presumed Guilty. We strongly stress how thankful we are with Antonio Zúñiga for giving this interview to Tan Cerca, Tan Lejos, A Voice of Mexico in the USA.
Let me tell you, you are listening to WMUA 91.1 FM in Amherst. Let me also tell you that Tan Cerca Tan Lejos, A Voice of Mexico in the United States of America, is partially sponsored by the Graduate School, by the Graduate Students Senate, by the Economics Department, and by the Spanish and Portuguese Languages Unit of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. We appreciate their kind support. Let me also stress once again that this partial sponsorship is used for advertisement purposes and no one involved in the production of this show receives wage payment.
We invite you to check it out, our webpage, which is www.tancercatanlejos-mexico-usa.com. You will find our links to our Facebook page and to our Twitter account in that webpage. You can also listen to the interviews we have done so far in the same webpage. And now let's move into the songs that Antonio Zúñiga requested, which are not his own music. They are the following three. First, Loco, Crazy by Los Aldeanos. Then, Losing My Faith by Cancerbero, in Spanish, Perdiendo la Fe. And then, Requiem by Natch.
Del norte, lo que a la humanidad y su loca loca destrucción. Loco Jehová y Cristo que creyeron que tendríamos salvación. Loca la visión de los que añoran cambios sin acción. Que esperan a que Apple o Android creen la aplicación. Loca esta sociedad que juzga y se esfuerza en hacer de sus normas y falsa moral camisas de fuerza. Loco aquí a la fe en la justicia humana se aferra. Y el que cree que el diálogo político frena las guerras. Pero loco bien que vive para sobrevivir. Y a estas alturas cometió la locura de no mentir cura. Que este mundo de cuerdos me confuera. Si en cada acera hubieran tres locos quisiera música sincera.
Estoy perdiendo la fe, por tanto rogar al techo sin ser escuchado es que estoy perdiendo la fe.
Por ver hambre y niños muriendo,
estoy perdiendo la fe.
Por ver tanta gente sufriendo,
estoy perdiendo la fe. Por salir a la calle y abrir los ojos un momento es que estoy perdiendo la fe.
Y yo sé que es necesario tener la fe en algún Dios para momentos duros,
a su nombre alzar la voz. Pero cuando sé de tantos inocentes que han matado, me pregunto si Dios estaba ocupado. Y yo sé que es necesario en algún Dios tener la fe para momentos buenos, a su nombre agradecer. Pero cuando sé de tantos inocentes que han matado, me pregunto si Dios estaba ocupado. Y si estoy equivocado, perdón te pido, porque en el fondo en ti quiero confiar. Pero si existes no creo que estés conmigo. Y si es mentira lo que digo, entonces envíame una señal. ¡Oh! Y si estoy equivocado, perdón te pido, porque en el fondo en ti quiero confiar. Pero si existes no creo que estés conmigo. Y si es mentira lo que digo, entonces envíame una señal. Me dicen que agradezca a Dios cuando algo me salga bien. Pero si a ver vamos, los malos rezan también. Yo estoy seguro que el que mata por placer reza también, para que sus planes no se le echen a perder. Por eso yo no creo que Dios a mí me haya ayudado, porque en todo caso hubiese ayudado primero a los niños de Etiopía que a diario habían rezado. Sin embargo, por desnutrición se fueron. Y no quiero que piensen que lo que hoy en día les digo es porque estoy herido a causa de la muerte de mis seres queridos, sino es que simplemente no he querido creer en algo que de existir fue muy injusto conmigo. La guerra es testigo de que quizás no estoy erróneo, que quizás somos las fichas de un juego entre Dios y el demonio. O sino que sentido tiene una vida llena de llanto sin salida, dirigida por el Señor odio. Es obvio que Dios no escuchaba cuando la niña rezaba para que más nunca a su padrastro la violara, ni la maltratara, ni la embarazara, ni la amenazara si hablaba. Digan que tiene de justo que un hijo te nazca enfermo y se vaya al descanso eterno por un sida de herencia materna. Por eso no doy gracias cuando me despierto, ya que quizá esté ofendiendo a tantos inocentes muertos. Que me digan que hay de justo que yo coma cuando quiera, mientras en aceras nuestros indígenas a Dios esperan. Por eso no di gracias cuando estoy comiendo, ya que quizás estoy ofendiendo a los que de hambre estén muriendo. Yo entiendo que hay muchas las cosas que uno entiende, que tal vez existen seres supremos y todopoderosos. Pero cuando en la calle veo lo que estoy viendo, noto que esos seres no son muy buenos y nada generosos.
Por las injusticias es que
estoy perdiendo la fe.
Por las noticias es que
estoy perdiendo la fe. Por tanto rogar al techo sin ser escuchado es que estoy perdiendo la fe.
Por ver hambre y niños muriendo,
estoy perdiendo la fe.
Por ver tanta gente sufriendo,
estoy perdiendo la fe. Por salir a la calle y abrir los ojos un momento es que estoy perdiendo la fe.
Y yo sé que es necesario tener la fe en algún Dios para momentos duros,
a su nombre alzar la voz. Pero cuando sé de tantos inocentes que han matado, me pregunto si Dios estaba ocupado. Y yo sé que es necesario en algún Dios tener la fe para momentos buenos, a su nombre agradecer. Pero cuando sé de tantos inocentes que han matado, me pregunto si Dios estaba ocupado. Y si estoy equivocado, perdón te pido, porque en el fondo en ti quiero confiar. Pero si existes no creo que estés conmigo. Y si es mentira lo que digo, entonces envíame una señal. ¡Oh! Y si estoy equivocado, perdón te pido, porque en
en el fondo en ti quiero confiar. Pero si existe, no creo que esté conmigo. Y si es mentira lo que digo, entonces envíame una señal, boy. No te pido, solo envíame una señal. Descanse, pero mi disculpa por si ofendí a alguien en esta canción, por cómo pienso yo. Porque a pesar de que en los momentos más duros aún sigo diciendo Dios mío, solo envíame una señal y cállame, porque estoy perdiendo la fe.
Observo el mundo y veo cómo sufre y se pudre. La podredumbre del hombre lo cubre. Promesas y juramentos que se hacen ceniza. Economías basadas en la deuda que nos esclavizan. Por el fin de esta civilización yo grito.
¿Quién? Por un mundo que está enfermo.
¿Quién?
Por estos tiempos modernos.
¿Quién?
Por la esperanza que se perdió.
¿Quién?
Por un futuro que nos dice adiós.
¿Quién?
Por el fin de los gobiernos.
¿Quién?
Por quienes hacen de ti un siervo.
¿Quién?
Por el dolor de los que vienen.
Requiem por esta civilización que muere.
Tiempos oscuros, muros de miedo y metal. Mafias financiando otra campaña electoral. Deudas de capital, bancos que engañan con astucia. Familias que beben en un charco de agua sucia. Políticos haciendo del terror su propaganda. Siendo elegidos, soldados que andan como cyborgs. Niños desaparecidos, madres esperando en vilo. Cámaras que giran y vigilan con sigilo. Virus fabricados por empresas farmacéuticas. Basuras químicas, limpiezas étnicas, pueblos en llamas, mil dramas, bombas humanas, pancartas prohibidas donde hay escrito no hay mañana, países desangrados por el coltán, víctimas que copan los informes pero al ser pobres no importan, sueldos que se recortan, impuestos que nos expolian, miradas que odian, islamofobia, nubes tóxicas que caen y nos fumigan desde el cielo, bosques arrasados por cemento y por acero, deshielo, ministros jugando a ser Dios, nazis presentando las noticias en la Fox, excesos de CO2, tos, asma, suburbios fantasma, bocas rotas en disturbios por la pasma, hombres que simplemente no quieren hacer el bien. Por el final de los días yo grito requiem. Por un mundo que está enfermo.
¿Quién?
Por estos tiempos modernos.
¿Quién?
Por la esperanza que se perdió.
¿Quién?
Por un futuro que nos dice adiós.
¿Quién?
Por el fin de los gobiernos.
¿Quién?
Por quienes hacen de ti un siervo.
¿Quién?
Por el dolor de los que vienen.
Requiem
por esta civilización que muere.
Cuando era niño creía en democracia y rezaba cada noche en pobreza dando gracia. Ignorante es paraíso, la verdad es una selva. Cambiando el mundo no es algo que te recomiendan. Le dicen al egipcio rebelión es terrorismo, pero justo cuando perpetrado por imperialismo. Imagina las mentiras que te han dicho. El negocio en el templo de gobierno es lo mismo y te matan por interrumpirlo como Jesucristo. Esa es la razón que mataron el comunismo.
Sí.
No fue para liberar la gente hispana,
nunca.
Solo enriqueció la corporación americana
y
europea, sabes cómo así es realizada.
Como
que no has hecho nada, población pacificada. Esta economía es como una factoría y escaparla sin revolución es fantasía. Prefiero pelear que estar en una celda como estudiante puertorriqueño que está en huelga. La deuda es esclavitud moderna, pero ninguna dictadura tiene vida eterna. Eventualmente la gente se cansa del abuso y derrotan a políticos que hablan por el gusto. Requiem es el fin, pero no el fin del mundo. Es el fin del fascismo, nos levantamos juntos.
¿Quién?
Por un mundo que está enfermo.
¿Quién?
Por estos tiempos modernos.
¿Quién?
Por la esperanza que se perdió.
¿Quién?
Por un futuro que nos dice adiós.
¿Quién?
Por el fin de los gobiernos.
¿Quién?
Por quienes hacen de ti un siervo.
¿Quién?
Por el dolor de los que vienen.
Requiem
por esta civilización que muere.
Observo el mundo y veo que libertad perece y la igualdad solo mengua. La tregua de la esclavitud sigue a leguas. Linajes que se perpetúan actúan bajo la cruz. Paisajes que sufren en la luz de la filosofía fast food.
Tiempos oscuros, bulos, cartas con Antrax, discursos ridículos, nudos en nuestra garganta. Tanta hipocresía, te fías del G14 y sus teorías del fin de los días en el 2012. Humanos ajenos al roce, amigos del consumo, nadie se conoce porque no se ve entre el humo de las fábricas mecánicas del beneficio. Trágicas escenas, entregas del día del juicio. Presos del miedo, del velo, manda el dinero, el recelo al sincero. Crece el agujero, la brecha que nos separa. África es vertedero del duelo, el acero en tu monedero es el placebo que nos prepara. Gobiernos que disparan con un clic, espécimen viviendo el infierno del régimen de Wall Street. Te inoculan el amor al capital sin brújula animal. Requiem por ver el final del nuevo orden mundial.
Trigger Radio every Friday, 6 to 8 p.m.
91.1 FM, or you can check us out online at WMUA.org.
Join Chris and Rec each week as we bring you interviews with artists, activists, and educators for conversations about hip-hop culture, politics, and tradition.
Decolonizing the mind, one listener at a time. Peace.
Jazz and Silhouette comes your way every Friday from 9 to noon. Committed to improvised music of the highest caliber, Jazz and Silhouette provides musician interviews, calendar listings, and lots of vibrant creative music. Tune in to 91.1 FM or WMUA.org to hear what jazz sounds like in the 21st century. Glenn Siegel is your host.
Muchas gracias si usted escuchó Tan Cerca, Tan Lejos el día de hoy. Vamos a cerrar con tres canciones de Antonio Zúñiga. Primero, Comienza a Escribirlo. Después, Sin Tu Amor. Y por último, La La La. Le invitamos a visitar nuestra página de internet, que es www.tancercatanlejos-mexico-usa.com. Allí usted podrá encontrar todas nuestras entrevistas y también nuestros enlaces a Facebook y a Twitter. Switching to English. Thank you very much if you listen to Tan Cerca, Tan Lejos, A Voice of Mexico in the USA. We're going to finish our show today with three songs composed by the very same Antonio Toño Zúñiga. First, we're going to listen to the song Comienza a Escribirlo. In English, Begin Writing It. Then, we're going to listen to the song Sin Tu Amor, which means, in English, Without Your Love. And finally, we're going to finish with the song La la la. Have a very nice week.
Si te preguntas cómo es que algunos han llegado hasta la cima, la respuesta es: nadie lo sabe.
Al despertar una mañana después del exorcismo, me encontré con que mis sueños ya se habían cumplido. Y fue como sentir un cataclismo, un terremoto, un acto de terrorismo, una bomba que explotó. El cerebro y cuerpo me gritaron: ya descansa. Pero el alma con gran calma y experiencia se negó. Lo has conseguido casi todo, pero algo falta. No te olvides de la gente que en los peores tiempos te apoyó. Y así de nuevo he montado en el camino, consciente que la lista de un artista hoy depende del esfuerzo de su gente, del problema que le enfrente, del empeño, el universo y ese don divino. No se aleja nunca de la gente que ama y recuerda con suspiros lo aprendido con Morfeo en la cama. No es la bala, no es el arma, no es la pólvora quien te dispara, es la mente, la boca y palabras. Porque no hay un don que por sí solo te entregue respeto, ni respeto que se entregue si te mira quieto. No hay amigos y eso es cierto, nunca ríos en el desierto. No hay destino escrito ni caminos lisos, lo presiento. Por eso pienso seguir en la carrera y montar mi voz en el altavoz hasta que me muera. Por eso tú no me critiques ni señales ni limites, porque estás mirando mi alma brillar por fuera. Deja de mirarlo, intentará sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale destino, karma, don divino, esfuerzo, dile como quieras. Pero por favor comienza a escribirlo. Deja de mirarlo, intentará sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale suspiro, arma, amor, delino, fama, dile como quieras. Pero por favor comienza a escribirlo. Si mete en esta vida es que tu vida tenga algún sentido. Por favor recuerda, nunca olvides lo vivido. Las caídas valen más que lo obtenido. Los triunfos son actrices, no te amaron, siempre lo han fingido. deja de esperar a ver lo que hace quien solo critica. Comienza a forjar las frases que serán la réplica. Él vendrá detrás de ti mirando siempre tu matrícula. Y la historia del que nunca frena será épica. Deja de mirar atrás, eso desconcentra. No importa quién te sigue, sino quién te espera. Entrega todo y entre tanto sueña que la entrega verdadera. Entre tantos tontos traspasa fronteras. Espera y no desesperes, no dejes que muera. Esa letra en el papel plasmada es una quimera. ¿Qué esperas? Para vivir entre el papel y la realidad, solo falta que tú quieras. Deja de mirarlo, inténtala sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale destino, karma, don divino esfuerzo. Dile como quieras, pero por favor comienza a escribirlo. Deja de mirarlo, inténtala sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale suspiro, arma, amor, delino, fama. Dile como quieras, pero por favor comienza a escribirlo. Ama lo que haces y utiliza frases como escudo. Corazón, mente y alma en frases cual si fueran uno. Espíritu y virtud, calma entre la multitud. Guarda tus secretos con respeto entre Dios y tú. Ama lo que haces y utiliza frases como espada. Emoción, gente y palmas en concierto llevarán la calma. Constancia y actitud, lágrimas en una luz. Trabaja hasta que caigas de cansancio y luego di salud. Y nunca olvides mirar con respeto a quien estaba igual que tú y como tú ha pasado el reto. Respeta a quien admires, admira a quien te enseña. Enseña a quien no sepa, solo así serás estrella. Y podrás mostrar de lo que es capaz una libreta. Cambiar las mentes de la gente de todo un planeta. ¿Qué esperas para vivir entre el papel y la realidad? Solo falta que tú quieras. Deja de mirarlo, inténtala sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale destino, karma, don divino esfuerzo. Dile como quieras, pero por favor comienza a escribirlo. Deja de mirarlo, inténtala sentirlo. No pienso explicarlo, tampoco repetirlo. Llámale suspiro, arma, amor, delino, fama. Dile como quieras, pero por favor comienza a escribirlo.
Yo a ti te complaceré. Siento amor aquí en mi corazón. Dulce amor a mi vida llegó. Siento amor, ya no existe el dolor. Dulce amor, hay paz en mi interior.
Mujer, no tienes que reír. Orgulloso me siento de lo que fuiste y yo fui. Desde que te vi, tú sabes, me enamoré de ti. Y desde entonces viví feliz así.
Tu sonrisa y tu llanto,
tus medias de seda,
tu odio, tu amor,
la luz de las caras.
Lo importante del amor entre tú y yo. La luna, los dos, el silencio nos abrazó.
Nos demostró que seríamos amantes, comenzando lentamente por nuestras mentes. Aparato importante del amor entre tú y yo. La luna, los dos, el silencio nos abrazó.
Amor, aquí en mi corazón. Dulce amor, a mi vida llegó. Siento amor, ya no existe el dolor. Dulce amor, hay paz en mi interior.
No, mujer, no tienes que llorar. Si lloras me obligarás a quedarme junto a ti. O lejos de ti te extrañaré. Siempre te querré y no te olvidaré. Mírame a los ojos y dime que sigues amándome locamente como antes. Y si sientes que sientes el mismo amor por mí, mismo amor por mí, como yo lo siento por ti. No te escucho decir te quise, te quiero. Es la muestra del amor sincero. Porque cuando se ama verdaderamente siento, siento que solamente a las palabras.
Ojitos hermosos, tú eres mi doncella. Quisiera tu nombre pintar en una estrella. Todo lo que tú me pidas te daré. En lo que tú me digas yo a ti te complaceré.
Y mi cariñito yo te quiero contar, que las estrellas no se pueden comparar con el amor que yo siento por ti. Por ti, por mí, por ti, por mí. Juntos dos dos así.
Llegó, siento amor, ya no existe el dolor.
dije no. Bueno, creo que no hay por qué negarlo. Sí, te amo.
Ya.
So baby, tiene el flow, el E5 de Chrome, el presunto de Cruze.
La la la, solo te vayas, shorty, quédate un segundo más. La la la, so come on baby, dame un beso y solo di goodbye.
Quien me da calor en esta vida fría. Si tú no estás conmigo, simplemente moriría. Me desvanecería como lluvia en el mar. Por eso yo te pido, no me dejes de amar. Perdona los errores y volvamos a empezar. Solo quiero que me digas que compartes sentimientos, que sientes tú lo mismo que yo por dentro siento. Y dime por favor que lo nuestro es real, que yo prometo que siempre te voy a ser leal. No habrán más discusiones, de eso puedes olvidarte. Solo ten presente que yo siempre voy a amarte. Que yo siempre voy a amarte.
Siento que porque te fuiste sin decirme adiós. La la la, solo te vayas, shorty, quédate un segundo más. La la la, so come on baby, dame un beso y solo di goodbye.
Me ha robado la razón, metes mi respiración. Hagamos caso al corazón, tú me abrazas fuerte y no te suelto yo.
Dame un beso, pero en exceso, yo te lo regreso. A mí me encanta eso, te lo confieso, con esto me expreso. Robaré tu amor, contigo quedaré preso.
Y hasta el final, quiero amarte, mirarte, tocarte y volar a la eternidad. Juntos vamos a estar, no tienes que dudar.
La la la, solo te vayas, shorty, quédate un segundo más. La la la, so come on baby, dame un beso y solo di goodbye.
Solo beso, que esto no es pecado. Esto no es un apagón, no es un subidón, pero de alto grado. Esto no ha acabado, que esas luces de la pista no te asusten. Dame un beso, que eso es lo que has provocado. Y ahora que te tengo junto a mí, con tu cuerpo junto a mí, ya me siento hasta enamorado. ¿Qué carajo? ¿Quién dijera que ese ritmo que yo bailo sube el tono y me lleva a lo que he soñado? Que tus labios guardan un secreto que me han susurrado. Tú ya sabes que te quiero, que yo soy un caballero, que el secreto bien discreto con mi alma, bien discreto lo tengo guardado.
Presentando lo más pesado del flow, tú sabes cómo es. Baby Killer 5-7 represent Mexico City, el E5 de Corona, el man del micrófono, el presunto culpable, el man de la lírica inigualable, The Cruze, el man de la demencia, que si te quedas te cose. Yo, no hay más nada que hablar, papá. No hay más nada que hablar, papá. No puedes ni siquiera igualar.
The Next Level Crew.
So, ¿qué esperabas tú?